We've been telling you a lot of stories here on the podcast about brands making big, scary shifts in business. And part of the reason we're doing this is to normalize that it's okay to pivot when you need to. In episode 342, Allison O'Connor shared how she shut down a six-figure revenue stream so that she could focus on a revenue stream, wholesale, that better fit the day-to-day life she wanted. In episode 338, Kiwi Schlaffel shared how she made the tough decision to exit her business. And Megan Hopkins-Sikori talked about why she chose to acquire Kiwi's business. Well, today, Janine Kuo from Quotations is back on the show to talk about some big shifts she recently made to her product line to ensure that her business was not only more sustainable, but also easier for her to manage. Janine is the owner and designer of Quotations, a Brooklyn, New York-based line of letterpress-printed greeting cards and gifts. Quotation cards acknowledge and celebrate people and occasions who are often underrepresented in the card aisle. She is also the author of Welcome to the Grief Club, an illustrated book on grief for anyone who has had a loss. Janine is a PaperCamp alumni and a community leader in our Proof to Product Labs program. She is an award-winning artist and an author and a great friend to many in the industry. On today's episode, Janine shares how a key account ordered 4,300 hand-painted cards, and that pushed her to retire and rethink her entire product line. She talked about her decision-making process, how she prepared for the changes, and how she communicated these product changes to her customer. Today's episode is brought to you by our Unlock Buyer's Secrets interview series. To make a strong first impression with wholesale buyers, we need to do a few things really well. We need to make it super easy for stores to purchase from us. We need to have clear pricing and terms and conditions. And we need to focus on building strong relationships with our wholesale customers. And all of that becomes infinitely easier when we actively listen to our customers. This on-demand interview series will give you a competitive edge because it will provide you an exclusive window into what buyers want and need from you. And the best part? It's only $27. So you can get access at prooftoproduct.com/unlock. That's prooftoproduct.com/unlock. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Hey, Janine, welcome back to Proof to Product.
Hi, Katie. Thanks so much for having me on again.
I am thrilled to chat with you. So for our listeners, you were previously on episode 188, but that was back in 2021, and so much has changed since then. So I would love to get an update from you. Tell us what you've been working on and what you've been doing as a business owner since then.
Oh my gosh, it feels like so long ago.
Right? I know. So much has changed. Lifetime.
Let's see. Well, recently I made a big change to my product line. So all my cards are letterpress printed. I print them myself, like on an old printing press. And up until this year, I was also hand painting a good number of the designs.
I know.
And so I made the decision last year to stop hand painting the cards because it was getting too much just from like a labor and also from like an operational standpoint, trying to manage all the different SKUs.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of my latest big endeavor. And I refreshed some of those designs into just kind of new letterpress printed cards.
Awesome. I want to dive into both of those scenarios a little bit more, but you're just like a quick update for our listeners. Since last time we talked, you're still letterpress printing. You're still selling direct to consumer and wholesale. Is that correct?
Yes. And I think the last time we talked, I was working on my book, Welcome to the Grief Club, but it hadn't come out yet. So that came out in 2022. So that is like done and out in the world, which is
congratulations.
Great.
That must feel so good. I've gifted that book to so many people and it has really helped them. So thank you for creating that.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for sharing that.
Of course. Of course. Okay. So let's dive into the retiring the hand-painted cards. I know this was an important component to your work, as you were able to provide different options for gender or skin color to your customers. So what led you to make the shift? You mentioned some operational challenges, but like, how long did you marinate with this like decision before you implemented it?
No, a really long time. So I remember that we talked about it. I did Paper Camp in 2019 and we talked about this and how it wasn't really scalable.
Yep.
And at the time I was really adamant about keeping them in my line. I think because, well, one, they were the first designs that I made. And when I started out making cards in 2011, like I wasn't expecting for it to become a business, but I had been making them for so long. I was like personally attached to them. Also, as you said, like a lot of the painted cards have different characters on them. And so customers could choose different genders or skin colors for the same like birthday card. And it was felt really important to me to offer that. I think especially at the time, there just wasn't as much representation in greeting cards as there is now. Like there's definitely way more. We celebrate different types of people and occasions, and that just really didn't exist as much back then. And so it felt important to keep that. But also at the time, I felt like, yes, at some point I would get to some, it wouldn't be sustainable, but I felt like I could do it. Like I was kind of like a one-person assembly line and it was doable. But at the time I was in maybe about 30 stores. And now I've sold to about like maybe 250 stores.
That's great.
So the business has grown a lot. And, you know, like the prospect of painting a few cards a week is very different than what I was doing up until this year.
Yeah.
Actually, I crunched my numbers because I know you probably would want to know.
I love numbers. Bring them.
And between 2022 and 2023, so for the last 2 years, I painted over 7,000 cards just for wholesale.
Janine.
I know. But what kind of really broke me was last year, I ended up getting two large orders from two different like big box retailers.
Mm-hmm.
And they both, of course, ordered hand-painted cards. And I think the first order was like for like 4,300 cards. And the turnaround time was, of course, really fast.
Yeah.
So I think from when I got the order to when I shipped it, I had 3 weeks to print, paint, pack, and ship the cards. And at the end of it, I was like, I never want to do this again. Like the moment that I knew would come has come.
And it hit you like a ton of bricks, and it sounds like.
I'm sure someone else would have made the decision earlier, but I don't know. For better or worse, I have like a tendency to just like white knuckle my way through things, which I think a lot of us do. But this was a moment where I was like, okay, this is actually, I think, not good for my business. It's not good for me. I'm not enjoying myself anymore. And so that was really a turning point where I decided, you know, by 2024, I was going to retire all my hand-painted cards.
Wow.
It was a long decision and it was like a tough one to make.
Well, and I can speak from my own experiences. You know, I had helped design my stationery brand from 2008 to 2016. I grappled with closing down the manufacturing arm for probably 18 months before I did it. And my situation was different, but it was also similar in that ultimately my decision to close manufacturing was because I couldn't keep up with it. And I had four kids at that point. I had had my fourth baby that year. And like, I think sometimes it takes a realization of like, oh, wait, this isn't healthy for me. This isn't sustainable for my business. This doesn't work anymore. And it's okay for things to not work anymore, but it doesn't make that decision-making process or even the execution process of that change any more easily, right?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, you know, aside from it being like a really big operational change, like I spent a lot of time just like getting right with myself in terms of like making the decision, but also getting to a point where I felt really good about that decision. So I talked to a lot of different people. So I talked to a lot of people in the Proof the Product community, in my personal life. I talked to retailers that I'm close with. I did a consultation with Sarah Schwartz, who's like wonderful. And she helped me think through the process and kind of like roll out of the change, like a customer survey through my newsletter. And actually that was really helpful because, you know, I was worried about disappointing my customers.
Of course.
I didn't want people to feel like I was saying, oh, it's like too hard to be inclusive, so I'm not going to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And people wrote back, like just like wrote in answers to the survey saying like, I just want you to do what you need to do for your own health. Like I will miss the cards. the old cards, but I'm sure that what you create, like, I will also love. And so it was really helpful to get that permission and that reminder that, like, our customers are also people who know that we're not just businesses, we're also people. And so that was like a really important step for me even before I like started making any changes. And I also, you know, I took a look at brands that I really admire and respect with who have like inclusivity at the heart of their business. So I looked at like, oh, Happy Danny. And I know Danielle has been on this podcast.
Yeah.
And Action Chess and Lady Fingers Letter Press and like many others who I think are putting out like meaningful, beautiful, welcoming work. And none of them are offering like 6 different customized options per card. So that was a really like important moment for me to think like, oh, I've been thinking about this as like a this or that, but really it's like a both and. Like, I can preserve the essence of the cards and like my values as a business and simplify my production process.
100% yes. Oh, I love this. Okay. So you retired the hand painted, which I am so happy you did, because now it also frees you up. Let's talk about this, the opportunities that you can now pursue, whether it's new product in your business, whether it's partnerships or things like you now have more space to do more of the things that will make an impact and allow you to still be inclusive and, like you said, lead with your values. I know you also redesigned several of your cards. Was this done in tandem with the retiring of the hand-painted, or was it kind of done separately?
It was in tandem. So once I decided that I was going to retire the cards, I took a look at my numbers. And of the painted cards, I looked at sales over the past few years. So I looked at which of those were my top sellers. And then I also looked at which weren't top sellers, but I felt were important to keep in the line. So for example, like I have a card that says, yeah, you got top surgery. In terms of sales, that's not, it doesn't sell as well as like a birthday card, but I felt it was important to keep. Mm-hmm. So out of those two buckets, I decided to keep, I think like 20 out of 45 designs in my line and to redesign them as letterpress cards, and then I discontinued the other ones.
Okay. I want to go back real quick and just acknowledge you mentioned that you sought out, like in your decision-making process to make these changes, you sought out like feedback from customers, from mentors, from your community and peers. And I feel like that had to have provided a lot of validation. Like, it's okay to make these changes. I'm not letting anyone down, and this is going to serve me best. Did you feel that way when you got that feedback from folks?
I definitely did. And so I refreshed the cards, and then when I was ready to release them, I spent a long time crafting this email to my retailers and to my online customers, kind of explaining the process, like my thought process, like why, like the timing of it. I think I gave my wholesale customers like 2 to 3 weeks to purchase the existing designs and like a sneak peek at the refreshed designs.
Nice.
And again, like I was really nervous, even though I had like done all this serving before, I was still nervous to like actually announce it.
Of course.
And again, like what I got back was like of the people who responded, people either said like, okay, yeah, sounds good. Or they were like, I'm really glad that you're taking this step and like doing what's best for you and your business. And like, I just felt really supported and validated along the way. And like, I realized that it was a little bit like anticlimactic even.
Well, I'm sure the buildup for you. So yes, the buildup for you must have been, you know, so much to then have it. Okay, yeah. It's out in the world and you're getting positive feedback, but also it was maybe an emotion, what's the word? A hangover of sorts, you know, like.
Yeah, definitely. And it was a good reminder. I think like a lot of us agonize over all these things, like you said, like discontinuing manufacturing or raising our prices. Like, and I think that for the most part, our customers like trust that we are making these decisions and like having these conversations behind the scenes, and we didn't come to these decisions lightly, and trust that like we know what is best for us in our business. So it was a good reminder of all of that.
Yeah. I will also add too, like the, like you were saying, the process of discontinuing product or redesigning SKUs, it's a big decision on its own to make that choice, But then there is that process of communicating these changes to customers and updating your website. Like, there's logistical and communication pieces to it. And you already mentioned that you spent a lot of time crafting your message to everyone. But then you also have to decide what to do with the old inventory, and you have to decide how much of your new product to run. And, you know, there's a lot of logistical pieces. Were there any of those logistical pieces that stood out as more challenging than others?
I think, as you said, there's just a lot of different steps in terms of like having a window where your customers can buy the old designs. So like having your like inventory up to date, so you're not having to like reprint the old designs when people order. And then I did have a lot of leftover stock. Mm-hmm. So I did do some like mystery packs on my retail site. And then I also did a craft fair. So then I did like, I just like offered them up as free cards, which people loved. And so in some ways it was like a longer transition process than I want. It wasn't like one day I have these cards and next day I have the new ones. But on the other hand, it was like kind of fun to think about like, what can I do with these cards? And it was also exciting to see people's reactions to the new cards. So like, I'm really happy with how they turned out. I feel like I accomplished my goal of like keeping the heart of the cards with a simpler production process. And you know, I think, like I said, like these were the first cards that I designed. So I designed them like over 10 years ago. And since then, like my line has evolved, my skills have increased. And so actually, I think being able to rethink the cards, they ended up kind of just being like better designed cards. So it was like fun to have that process going on as I was like still kind of trying to figure out what to do with my old stock.
Well, your point of view as an artist and a storyteller through your products has refined over the years, you know, and we continue to evolve as humans, and therefore your product line is going to evolve as well. And I think this was a really nice segue of letting go of the old, making way for the new, and also simplifying your business operations so that you can make a larger impact and sell more of your products to a wider audience with more ease.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think part of me feels like, oh, I should have made this decision like a long time ago.
I'm only laughing because I know you and I have had this conversation many times. But also, I just want to give you grace. Like, you can't move forward with something until you are absolutely sure and ready to do it. Even if other people are telling you, hey, you should do this, until we are personally ready to make that change, you know, I get it.
I think that I've landed in a place where I'm glad that I did it for as long as I did, because I do think it was a pretty unique and like special offering.
Yeah,
and sometimes when I, you know, go to friends' houses, I see like the original like hand-painted block printed cards on their fridge. And I'm like, oh, I'm like glad that they're out in the world and I was able to offer them like in the time that I could. And yes, like now it's time to offer like something else that's different, but also like just as valuable.
Yeah. Definitely. You know, what advice would you have for listeners who may be thinking about refreshing their product line or even discontinuing aspects of it? I mean, you've already shared kind of the process and your decision-making through that, but you also shared that you wish you'd maybe done that sooner. What would you tell them if they're listening and kind of contemplating ideas or thoughts on changes?
I think I would say, like, don't be afraid to make changes to your line. I think it's only natural. It's like, in some ways, it's more natural to continue to make changes than to not make changes to our business, because like our businesses change, they grow, like we change, our lives are different also outside of the business. The world obviously changes drastically. So I think it's not a sign of like failure if you feel like, oh, I've been doing this thing, but it's no longer working. It's actually like a sign that things are like growing, that things aren't stagnant. So I think it's a really good sign. And I think like lean into it and don't be afraid to do it. Like, don't be afraid to shake things up. And I would say like, do it in a way that feels good to you, right? Like if you're someone who's like, I love change, I'm not afraid of change, I want to do this big old thing, like go for it. But if you're like me and you're like, I want to sit on it for 5 years.
Then sit on it for 5 years. Like,
sit on it for 5 years until you feel good about it.
100%. Oh, yes. Now, okay, let's talk about what kind of opportunities these shifts open up for your business. I mean, you mentioned that, you know, you're working with key accounts now, you're working with over 250 stores. Is wholesale still your focus for the business at this point?
It is. Yeah, I have some online sales as well, but the majority of my business is wholesale.
Okay. And is that something you're working actively to expand in the next 6 to 12 months?
I am. Yeah, I'm still looking to grow my wholesale accounts. I think since we last talked, the business is still mainly me. Like I print everything. I have a bookkeeper. I have a VA who helps out with some of my emails and a studio assistant who helps with fulfillment.
Great.
Although sadly, she's leaving me soon. So it'll be me packing orders again.
Oh, no.
So I think the time that it has freed up has helped me even just like think through that. Like, what are the pieces of the business that I can sort of let go of or like get more help on? I think I want to keep my business small still. Like I don't see myself having a full-time team.
Yeah.
So the question for me is like, how do I stay sort of like small and nimble, but also continue to grow and build the business in a way that like I have a bit more space from it, which right now, like I haven't quite figured that out.
Yeah. You're not alone in that. I'm talking to a lot of folks right now who are looking for the same thing. They want to make an impact, but they also don't want to feel beholden to the business 24/7. They want to be able to live a life, you know, and not be working all the time. So do you see that? I mean, I know you're still figuring it out, so we're just kind of shooting it right now. But like, do you see that being through, you know, maybe just working on retention of your existing stockists and, you know, fulfilling what you're doing now? Or do you want to grow into more stores?
I think it's both. I do want to grow into some more stores. I'm really focused on keeping my relationships with my existing stockists strong and making sure that they're happy with the product. I'm also thinking about sort of exploring some other revenue streams. So I'm more interested in licensing than I was a few years ago.
Cool.
Thinking about maybe writing another book.
Yay. That's a big commitment.
I know. So like I say that very tentatively, it's very early days, but I think I would like to like expand a little bit now that my wholesale, you know, again, it is still me, but it's a little bit more like my processes are a little bit more down.
Yeah.
Systematized. So like now I have that, it's like running a bit more smoothly. I'm interested in like maybe like taking on exploring some new products or exploring some new.
That's great, Janine. I think the way you've grown has been so thoughtful and intentional. And you know, because you're in labs and you've done paper camp, like I'm always telling folks, let's get one sales engine running super smooth and systematize it. So it's ease, you know, less bumps in the road, and then we can expand into other things. And so it's fun for me to see you over the last several years streamlining your product line, your systems, all of that, so that you can stretch your wings in other areas that you may want to explore. And doing what you did with your product line does give you space to possibly write a second book or do more licensing. And that has to feel good to know that those decisions will serve you well as you move forward.
Yeah, definitely. I'm also trying, I mean, it's like, there's never enough time, but
I know.
I can also keep reminding more people in my life, keep reminding me that I can also take that extra time and not work. And
yes, that's a great reminder for all of us. Thank you for sharing that, because we don't have to work all the time.
I'm also trying to be intentional about that, about taking time like outside of the business and not be like, oh, I can take this extra time and like do this new, build this new arm of the business and just, you know, create for fun or just like rest and like not just like be a potato.
Yeah. I was talking with somebody the other day, and I know Sam Kramer talked about this on one of her podcast episodes here too, of like, we don't have to monetize everything that we do creatively. And it's true. We can just create for fun or read or relax or whatever. We don't have to be working 24/7. So thank you for resurfacing that conversation and bringing that back up, because I think it's really, really important that, yeah, just because we freed up space doesn't mean it needs to be filled with additional work. Well, Janine, what's coming up for you in the next, like, for the remainder of the year? Are you working on any special projects or things that you want to share with our audience?
I don't have any big projects coming up. I think I'm, as we talked about, kind of just in this season. I feel like I'm always in this season of just, like, trying to figure out what kind of business I want to build. And as you say, like, how do I build a business that works for my life and that supports the other things I want to do outside of it rather than have it feel like it's at odds with the other things I want to do. So I'm trying to just take some time to think about like, how much growth do I want? What areas do I want to be growing? Like, how do I want to continue to change the business so that I can take a step back from it when I need to? Because right now it still feels like I have to be in it all day, every day. So I don't have any answers, but I'm trying to take some time to like ask myself those questions.
And those are the types of questions we need to be asking ourselves pretty regularly as entrepreneurs, especially when it's just us or maybe us and one or two other people. Are the things I'm choosing to say yes to, are they aligned with where I'm trying to take this business for the life that I want to lead? And so I give you kudos for, you know, reflecting on that. I think too often many of us have heads down and we're trying to do the work and we don't take that time to reflect. And then we pick our heads up and we're like, oh my gosh, where, like, I was running in the wrong direction or whatever it might be. And so for you to reflect on that in a consistent, regular basis is really smart.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely, my tendency is to just like, what's the next thing? Let's do the next thing. But I am trying to take the time to really think about what that next thing should be.
Awesome. Janine, it's been so fun chatting with you today. Tell our listeners where they can find you online to purchase your products and or follow you on social.
Sure. So I'm at Quotations, Quotations, on Instagram and everywhere. And my website is quotations.com.
We will include all of that in the show notes so folks can easily find you. But Janine, thank you for your time today and for sharing this. I know it was a difficult transition for you, but I'm so excited for the growth and the opportunities that will come your way now that you've made this change. So congratulations on seeing it through.
No, thanks, Katie. It's always so nice to talk to you.
You as well. Huge thanks to Janine for coming on the show today and sharing her story. I love having our alumni come back on the show to share their business updates and how they're evolving as CEOs. I particularly loved what Janine said about making space to live life and not necessarily to work more. More work is an easy trap to fall into. I know I have. So check out our show notes for all of Janine's links, including a link to her last interview here on Proof to Product. If you are looking to focus on expanding your wholesale business, I also want to invite you to join the waitlist for our Paper Camp program. We are hosting the 44th round of this wholesale intensive this fall. We talk about industry standards and current strategies for your product line, sales tools, marketing, and more. To learn more and join the waitlist, head to prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. That's prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. And lastly, if you have a friend who is in the process of making some big decisions in their business, please share this episode with them. It's important that we all know we're not alone as we navigate being an entrepreneur, and it helps to hear other people's stories. Thanks for listening until the end. I'll be back next week with a new episode.